Our scripture passage comes from Romans chapter 9, verses 6 through 24. Let us hear God's word. Paul writes to the believers in Rome and says, "It is not as though God's word had failed, for not all who are descended from Israel are Israel. Nor because they are his descendants are they all Abraham's children. On the contrary, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." In other words, it is not the natural children who are God's children, but it is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. For this is how the promise was stated: "At the appointed time, I will return, and Sarah will have a son." Not only that, but Rebekah's children had one and the same father, our father Isaac. Yet before the twins were born or had done anything good or bad, in order that God's purpose and election might stand, not by works, but by him who calls, she was told, "The older will serve the younger." Just as it is written, "Jacob I love, but Esau I hated." What then shall we say? Is God unjust? Not at all. For he says to Moses, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." It does not therefore depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, "I raise you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth." Therefore, God has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy, and he hardens whom he wants to harden. One of you will say to me, "Then why does God still blame us? For who resists his will? But who are you, O man, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, 'Why did you make me like this?' Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for noble purposes and some for common use? What if God, choosing to show his wrath and make his power known, bore with great patience the objects of his wrath, prepared for destruction? What if he did this to make the riches of his glory known to the objects of his mercy, whom he prepared in advance for glory? Even us, whom he also called, not only from the Jews, but also from the Gentiles." May the Lord our God put his blessing upon the reading of his holy word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and heavenly Father, we come to you now. Your word tells us many things that are even difficult to accept and to understand. But we pray, heavenly Father, that you would send your Holy Spirit and give us eyes to see and ears to hear, all to the glory of Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. All right, here's a question for you. And maybe you have already thought about it. Most of us haven't. Why do some people believe the gospel and others do not? Why do some people believe and some do not? Maybe we are smarter than others. We all know the answer to that. Maybe we are just more righteous and, you know, we're good people. We're better people. No, not at all. All right. Like you're getting ready to get on a roller coaster. Hold on, because here it comes. The Bible says that the reason that some people believe the gospel and others do not believe the gospel is because God has chosen those people to believe the gospel and he has left others to themselves. The Apostle Paul, he doesn't come up with some novel or new explanation. He just simply goes through the listing of God's people. He starts by going back to Abraham. Abraham was a pagan. His wife, Sarah, is named after the moon goddess. Abraham was a pagan. But he was elected, he was chosen from other pagans to be the recipient of God's grace. Abraham did not choose God. God chose Abraham. God did not respond to Abraham's decision or his free will. Instead, Abraham responded to God's grace. Abraham initiated nothing with God except his own sin and God's wrath. But God initiated love and grace to Abraham, because God wanted it to be that way. Abraham was no better than anyone else in all of the world, but God sovereignly chose Abraham out of all the people in the world to be the man and the family tree that the blessings of the Christ would come to all those whom God would call. But not all of Abraham's descendants believed. Ishmael was excluded, verse 7, nor because they are his descendants are they all Abraham's children. On the contrary, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. It is not the natural children coming through the line of Abraham. Instead, it is going to be the unnatural birth of the child of promise of Isaac when Abraham and Sarah were very old and were not able to have children. Abraham, he had two sons, Isaac and Ishmael. They both grew up in the same home. They had the same father. But God chose Isaac. Ishmael rejected the gospel that was given to him by his father. Isaac, on the other hand, being empowered by the Holy Spirit, believed it and loved it. And this is only because God had already chosen Isaac. Then Paul moves to the next generation, the sons of Isaac. Verse 10, Rebekah's children had one and the same father, our father Isaac. Yet before the twins were born or had done anything good or bad, in order that God's purpose and election might stand, not by works, but by him who calls, she was told, the older will serve the younger, just as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. This is a powerful illustration of God's choosing one and passing over another one. Just think about this family. Think about Isaac and Rebekah. Think about their children, Jacob and Esau. Jacob and Esau, they shared the same father. They shared the same mother. They shared the same upbringing. They even shared the same womb because they were twins. Yet before they were born, before anyone had done anything good or bad, God in all eternity had already made a choice. And that choice was Jacob. Well, some people will say, well, it's probably because God looks into the future, and as he looks into the future, he sees that Jacob is going to choose God, so therefore God's going to choose Jacob. No. The very passage that I'm reading from excludes that. Before they had done anything good or bad, God chose who would be saved. God did not choose Jacob because later on Jacob would have faith. No. As a matter of fact, when you look at the narratives about Jacob and you put Jacob and Esau side by side, in the early goings, Esau is more outwardly righteous and good son than Jacob is. But God set his love and grace and mercy upon Jacob and left Esau to himself. It was not based upon what they did. It was not based upon what they would do. It's not by works, but by God's purpose in election. The reason Jacob believed is because God chose him to believe. And then God equipped him with everything Jacob needed in order to believe. He equipped him with a regenerate heart in order to receive the gospel and believe it. You know, well, preacher, I don't know, this don't sound fair to me. Well, it's interesting that you should ask that. Because Paul anticipates this very question in verse 14. What then shall we say? Is God unjust? Notice Paul's response. Not at all. For God said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. It does not therefore depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. If you're a Christian, it does not depend upon you believing the gospel initially. It does not have anything to do with any good works that you might do. No. The reason that you believe the gospel is because God chose you to believe it and then empowered you to receive it. And let me just tell you, you don't want God to be fair. You don't want God to be fair. Because guess what? If God is fair, ain't nobody in here going to heaven. God's going to give you exactly what you deserve. That's fairness. Instead, you want God to be merciful to your soul. You want God to be merciful to your sinful, degraded, ugly, sinful soul. That's what you want. And that's what you have received. The grace and the mercy of God. You see, everybody is deserving of the wrath of God. But God shows mercy to those that He wants to show mercy to. All right, you're at the playground with your kids. Your child comes up and wants a drink of water. Now, are you obligated to give a drink of water to every kid there in the playground? No. You can choose who you want to give a bottle of water to. God is absolutely sovereign. He can choose whom receives His grace and mercy. He's not obligated to show mercy. If He was obligated to show mercy, it would not be mercy. It would be justice. He is not obligated. But yet, He shows mercy and grace. See, the Bible teaches that God is absolutely sovereign over who is saved. It does not depend upon your desire or your effort. Oh my goodness, aren't you glad it doesn't depend upon your effort?
Yes.
Because we all fail. Even as Christians, we fail all the time. I'm not kept by my good works. I'm kept by Jesus Christ. And the scriptures show us just how sovereign God is over who is saved. John chapter 6. We cannot come to Him unless He draws us. John chapter 15. We cannot choose Him unless He first chooses us. Ephesians chapter 2. We remain spiritually dead unless He makes us spiritually alive. John chapter 3, we cannot enter the kingdom of God unless God first makes us born again. 1 John chapter 4, we cannot love Him unless He first loves us. Ephesians chapter 2, we cannot believe unless He gives us that faith to believe. If we are to be saved, it is because God must do it. Yeah, but preacher, you know, when you were preaching that time and we had the altar call and I came down forward. Well, maybe you did that in another church. But let me just say, coming down to an altar call does not save you. It does not save you. As a matter of fact, as children, if there was such a thing as an altar call thousands of years ago, both Jacob and Esau would have come down forward. That act and any other act that you would want to connect to it does not save you. What does Paul say? It does not depend upon your effort. It depends upon God's mercy. If you believe the gospel, friend, you are a walking miracle, because you have gone from spiritual death to spiritual life, and not because of something you did, but because of the love of Jesus Christ. It is, if we are to be saved, it is because God has done it. God has done it. He's done this for you. He has done this for you. The scripture says He will have compassion on those whom He chooses to have compassion. And oh friend, He has chosen to have compassion upon you. You have been chosen to be saved from your sins by the blood of Christ. But preacher, why would He choose me? Well, there's a reason, but that reason is not found in you. Because you're a dirty old dog, you know, you're full of sin. God didn't choose you because you're a good person. God wants to demonstrate His compassion and mercy to you. That's why you were chosen. You have been chosen to be saved by the blood of Christ. And you know why? Because God wants you to worship Him. You know, when I was a child, I always thought about just how boring church can be. I was good with the singing part. And then when the choir sang, that was all right too. But then after the choir got done and the preacher stood up, you know, you could just see me going, oh, here it goes. What am I going to do for the next 30 minutes? This is the most boring thing in my life. You know why it was boring? Because the God I was worshiping was boring. I had created God in the image that I wanted Him to be in, and not as He is. And this is exactly what Paul does here in the book of Romans. From chapter 7, 8, 9, 10, he talks about, you know, God's sovereign grace. And then all of a sudden it's like, I've got to stop writing and I just have to praise God. You see, you were chosen to worship Him. The reason you were told about being elected is to draw you into worship, to give you the right understanding of your salvation, that it is not of something you did, but it's something that Christ has done for you. And that should elicit worship and thanksgiving. And Paul just, he just goes to pieces here in chapter 11. He goes, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable His judgments and His paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been His counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." The doctrines of God's sovereign grace and the doctrines of election are revealed to us by the Spirit to elicit worship from you to Christ. The Apostle Peter says, "You are a chosen people." You're chosen. You are a chosen people, a people belonging to God. You belong to God. A people belonging to God that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful life. Let's make it really simple. I asked, why are some people chosen? Some people are not. The answer is, the reason that you have been chosen is for you to praise Jesus Christ. It's pretty simple, but that's the truth. The reason you have been chosen, to receive the gospel, is because God wants you to worship Him. The reason you have been saved by grace is to worship. Twice in the first chapter of Ephesians, Paul connects the doctrines of election and God's sovereign grace to producing a response of worship on behalf of the church. The reason that we think worship is boring is because we have created God in our own mind. Because, see, we're comfortable with that God. We're not comfortable with a God who has absolute sovereignty over our lives. So we create God in our own image. That's pathetic, isn't it? That as Christians, we are idolatrous because we create God in our image instead of submitting to Him as image bearers. God does as He pleases in the entire world. We cannot fathom His wisdom. He transcends any logic that we may have. He is in absolute control of my world, your world, and the world. Do you know the God that I'm talking about? I'm not asking, do you know Him in theory? I'm asking, do you know this God in such a way that each day, as you think about His absolute holiness and power over your life, your knees buckle, your heart trembles, and you bow in worship because He has poured out His love and grace to you? It absolutely has pleased the triune God to show you mercy. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank You for this mercy that You have poured out upon us through Jesus Christ. It is not because of our works. It is not because of our so-called righteousness. But it is because You are a gracious and merciful God, and You show that mercy to sinners. Gracious and heavenly Father, give us humble hearts that we may worship You in spirit and in truth. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close our worship.